This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. This week, the Hillary Clinton campaign is expected to announce its economic transition team. Not the people who will run economic policy should she win, but the people who will pick those people. If you want to know more precisely where policy would be pointed in a new Clinton administration, this economic transition team will be a vivid clue. Joining us is Felicia Wong, president and CEO of the Roosevelt Institute, a nonpartisan think tank which is pushing for the next administration, whoever wins, to transform the economic narrative in America. She's someone watching very closely for details this week of this economic transition team.
I think it's really important that anybody named to that transition team understand that their job is to look for great candidates who have experience in promoting the public interest and not in promoting narrow corporate or narrow financial interests. The people who are on that team need to understand what Mrs. Clinton said in her speech, which is that the first order of business is to make sure we have jobs, make sure we have higher wages, and make sure that Wall Street and large companies are held accountable.
And I know Hillary Clinton, of course, has pledged to bring diversity to, for instance, her cabinet. What about a group like the Economic Transition Team?
Well, it's critically important that her economic appointments be diverse. We like to say her appointment should look like America. That means we need to see women, we need to see people of color, we need to see young people, we need to see people from all 50 states, not just from the Amtrak corridor, in the kinds of jobs that make economic decisions.
The Roosevelt Institute has some ideas about how this moment in which the old administration fades out, the new administration hits the ground, hopefully running. What, time to reboot economic policy?
We need to tell ourselves the right story about the economy we're living in today. What that really means is we need to understand that three important things about the economy need to go together. The first thing, which you heard Mrs. Clinton talk a lot about in her speech, is the need for better jobs, higher wages, better benefits. But you need to be able to connect that to a need to rebalance power at the top. If you want to be able to pay for those higher wages, if you want to be able to pay for those greater benefits, you need to be able to squeeze what economists call rents out of the top in order to do so.
Now, on that part two, the rebalancing power at the top, is that really, you're talking about tax policy?
We're talking in part about tax policy. We're talking in part about stronger regulation. I think many, many people in the reform community are pleased that Dodd-Frank has gone as far as it has, are pleased that we have a Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that over 5 years has done a tremendous amount of good for 11 million Americans.
Which was a key part of Dodd-Frank, the package of legislation that followed the financial collapse.
That's right. But we know we need to do more because we know that corporate power is still too concentrated. For example, as Elizabeth Warren said just the other day, three retail companies control 99% of all drug and pharmaceutical transactions in this country. And that can lead to higher prices, that can lead to lower wages. We're kind of back in a Teddy Roosevelt trust-busting era where we need to think a lot more about breaking up these kinds of super firms or at least making sure that they work for their workers and they work for consumers.
And then there's a third piece.
The third piece is investment in public goods. People talk a lot about infrastructure. That sounds kind of wonky, but it's really important. And it's not just about public money invested in roads and bridges. It's also about public money invested in transportation and in broadband and the things that are going to help low-income people get to their jobs, find jobs, keep jobs. You have to think about all those things together.
But you're also saying that deeper change that your organization is calling for the U.S. economy doesn't happen unless the power equation changes because the powerful can stand in the way of changes like this.
That's right. And as Hillary Clinton said in her acceptance speech, our economy isn't working because our democracy isn't working. Increasingly, we know and understand that the kinds of legislative changes that we would need to rebalance this power are really, really difficult when we see that much corporate money going into Washington.
So you're thinking very specifically about money in politics and the campaign process or more widely?
It is more broad than that, David. Yes, campaign money matters, but lobbying money also matters. It's the kind of constant pressure that you see when if you're a member of Congress and you see 20 times as many people from any particular industry. I'm not going to call out one because that's not what it's about. You have 20 times as many visits from those folks as you do from people like me.
But that's just not woven into the fabric of Washington.
It doesn't have to be woven into the fabric of Washington.
There's policy that could put curbs on the power of lobbyists.
Yes, there is policy that could put curbs on the power of lobbyists. And part of that does have to do with limiting campaign donations. That is also part of it. We like to say at Roosevelt that we need to rewrite the rules of the economy. Part of what that means is that we need to change the people who are writing those rules. We need to make sure that those people are really road tested and they can demonstrate that they favor the public good, not only their next career move, not only their company's narrow interests, because that's why we have people in Washington. It's the government that's going to protect our common interests.
All right. Felicia Wong, President and CEO of the Roosevelt Institute. Thank you very much.
Thank you.